This is a, God ends the final age with a Jewish basket of summer fruit. This is number two. I preached on Wednesday night. And we look up all the words in Hebrew and Greek and Chaldee. And what we do, we make sure that we do that because we don't want to make a mistake in interpreting God's word. We don't try to be fancy or clever or anything like that. We just actually look up the words and what they meant when they were written and who wrote them and why they were written. Now, there's an interesting thing about this. Because God ends the final age with a Jewish basket of summer fruit. This is number two. Now, there's an interesting thing about this word that's used for basket. It's used only twice in the Bible. And it's in the singular. And when you talk about the Bible using fruit, the Lord used his fruit to talk to the Jewish people because they understand what it means. And so when we interpret it, we look up every word. And if it's in Chaldee, we make sure we get it right. And if it's in Hebrew, we make sure we get it right. And if it's in Greek, we make sure we get it right. And we do this because when you get to heaven, you better be right. You better have made the right choice in what you believe. We don't try to force what we believe on you, but we just tell you what we do. Now, the fact that this basket appears only twice is because it's singular. And it's singular in the sense that the Jews used fruit and in wheat and corn and all other kind of fruits to get across what they had to say. And to those people who heard it, it meant a certain thing. And down through the years, people have kind of gotten away from trying to figure out exactly what the word is, what God is saying. And so there has been a lot of misunderstanding of different things. And the truth of the matter is that this is a singular basket of summer fruit. You say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. It means a lot. Because when you have things in Israel, they fit certain seasons of the year. And this is singular. And it's the last basket of summer fruit. I covered this in God ends the final age with a Jewish basket of summer fruit, number two. I started the series on Wednesday night. Now, when God wrote the word to the prophets and to whoever he was writing, God had a plan for man that with the passage of time, he would understand more and more and more and more of what he had to say. If he wanted to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right in dividing the word of truth. So we go to great lengths to make sure that we haven't deceived you in any way, and that what we teach is based strictly on the word of God. Now in Luke 21, 24, 25, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Well, you know that happened. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Now, I have this in heavy print, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles are about to be fulfilled. And many people have never completely understood that the great white throne of judgment has two different groups there. They have a group that is called out first, and then they have a group that is called out second. Then they have a final separation. And the final separation is when all of the lost, all of the ungodly, all the evil is transferred and separated. So it's something that isn't easily understood. I have never been able to tell when the rapture will occur. They call it the rapture. That was a name it picked up along the way. It's really the first resurrection that we're talking about, but that's all right. I'll settle for rapture, if that's what you want to call it. Now, I'm interested in the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Many times God would use this, and he would say things that would apply, that would be fulfilled, and then later on they would be repeated. This is one of those times. The main thing I'm interested in is, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, you can see I'm not rich. You can see I don't have a lot of money, and that's by my design. I started teaching all over the world, and I didn't make any money. You say, well, why? I gave it to the church. And the truth of the matter is, I just used the money to buy stuff to do what I do. Now, why? I don't want you to ever believe or even think for a minute that I'm one of those preachers that really likes to be noticed and have attention. God taught me very quickly when I started that it was very important because I have to appear before God for everything I say, and I'll be judged for it. I want you to know I'm acutely aware of that, so I do the very best I can to be honest and open in everything I say. In Romans, in Luke, he says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the time of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I deliberately made that in heavier print because this is a type of prophecy, and most of the prophecies are like this, where they talk about a particular thing, and then they may revert back to it and talk about another thing. In Romans 11, 25, 26. For I would not, brethren, he's talking to the local church at Rome, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, notice again, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I underlined that in black. I actually emphasized it in black because it says, and so is a conclusion, just like so is always a conclusion, or just about all the time. So, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This happened to the people who were Jewish, and they were carried away by the word of the sword, by the way of the sword. They were trodden down all over the earth. Then they were regathered. The northern kingdom, then they started being addressed as the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was viewed as a basket of summer fruit turning rotten. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I have to say it because a singular, this word that is used for basket is used twice and it's singular. Well, why is it that important? Because it's a basket, a singular basket turning rotten. And the northern kingdom was viewed as a basket of summer fruit turning rotten and needing judgment for its rottenness. So I know that God meant to use this in the way that I'm telling you, because if you take the scriptures and you look them up, I have never found an error in them. You say, well, God, you shouldn't do that. Well, God said to try him, and I have, and he's always right. You say, you mean to tell me that you believe God is always right? I'm absolutely positive of it. You say, well, how can you be absolutely positive? Because I've studied it. Because I've looked at it. Because he's never made an error in any of the translations. You say, well, you're not qualified to say that. Very few men have my qualifications. I spent time in institutions of higher learning from one end of this earth to the other. I was trained, and I've been in five different institutions learning the languages myself. Because I believe that God is very real. And the vision of a basket of summer fruit, symbolically, of Israel's end. The northern kingdom, Israel, was viewed as a basket of summer fruit turning rotten, and it was needed judgment for its rottenness. Now, why would he leave it singular? Why didn't it appear plural in other places? It's right there. You've got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why I'm here in this church. I'm here in this church because I was sent to this church, and here I am. You say, well, I suppose you think you're something special. Quite contrary. I used to, but by the grace of God, I came to understand. I couldn't understand anything about this unless God revealed it and taught it to me. I'm not special. I'm not above anybody else. Now notice, Amos 8:1. We're going to stick with Amos as we go through here. Thus hath the Lord God showed me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. A basket, and it appears twice, and it's singular. The summer is the end of the year and time of the ripeness of fruits. You've got to understand these scriptures in the way that the people of his day would understand them. You say, well, that requires a lot of effort. Don't tell me that. Don't you think I know that? Do you think my life has been easy because I did that? Do you think that God's blessed me because of that? You get more flack thrown at you if you start trying to warn people about what's coming than you ever possibly imagined. I've been all over the earth. And yes, God's watched over me. God's kept me. That's the only reason I'm still in the ministry, or I wouldn't be in the ministry. Now, this is the time. This has to be a special, singular, Amos 8:1, and it's a single basket, and it's of summer fruit. Summer fruit was in the summer, S-U-M-M-E-R. And the summer is the end of the year and time of the ripeness of fruits. So Israel is ripe for her last punishment, ending her national existence as the fruit is plucked up, ripe from the tree. So Israel is from that land. Yes, they were plucked up in the past. But God indicates there's going to be a change in the last days. And I'm standing here telling you this. I'm 86 years old, or close to it. But the truth is, I'd much rather be doing something else, but this is what I'm supposed to do. You don't get rich doing this. You don't get specially blessed. You don't get any of those things. I don't expect any of those things. I just don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and not have told you the truth. And he said, Amos, what seeth thou? And I said, a basket, a singular basket, one basket of summer fruit. You know, from the time of growing, from the time of spring into the end of summer, man, they loved apples. The Israelis loved apples. And they gathered harvests you wouldn't believe during that period of time. But here we're down to a single basket. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me. Now listen to this, and please remember it. The end has come upon my people of Israel. Listen, back when this was written, originally, the end wasn't come upon the people of Israel, and they stayed in existence. He said, I will not again pass by them anymore. Now, what he's talking about here, he's just talking about passing by Israel. He said, I've had enough. He said, I'm just going to pass by you from now on. Doesn't mean he's going to abandon them. Doesn't mean he's going to throw them away. Doesn't mean he's going to hate them. Doesn't mean anything like that. He says, I will not pass by them anymore. Now, the prophecies of Ezekiel were written before and during the great Babylonian captivity. So his prophecy is about the southern kingdom of Judah, which much later went into Babylonian captivity as a summer basket of fruit. We are going through a status right now, a status of a summer basket of fruit. We are not in the tribulation period, although a lot of people in the United States might think we are. We are not in the tribulation period. You say, well, when will we be? I can't tell. I never have been able to tell. And I've taught for years. I've put out stuff, and I started at the very beginning. I cannot tell you when a rapture occurs. I cannot. It's impossible. Believe me, I'm a mathematician, and it's impossible. You say, well, with God, all things are possible. Yeah, I've heard that before. And certainly, I'm going to tell you this right to your face. If you say all things are possible with God, all you got to do is make up your own story and say, God, reveal this to me. God spoke to me in my ear, and I heard it. You believe that? My friend, you got a problem. Because all you got to do is come up with something that you like and then bring God into it. I will never operate that way. I never have, and I never will. He says, which much later went into Babylonian captivity as a summer basket of fruit. What does much later mean? It means at the very end. It means when you get down to the last summer that you're going to have. You say, no, that's not what that means. I'm telling you it means that, and I know I have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ, and I sure hope you pay attention to it, because it's just about close to happening. He says, also, thou son of man, saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land, north, south, east, and west. You say, well, why didn't it say northeast, southeast? Why didn't it give that? They didn't do that in the Bible. And you go through there and you look at words and you say, it says red. It may interest you to know that when it says red, it can mean orange. It can mean pink. It can mean anything like that. You say, how do you know? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've spent most of my life in libraries all over the world looking into libraries to make sure that these words mean exactly what I'm telling you. Four corners of the land. I'd say that pretty well covered the land. An end is come. Now notice what he says. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. You better get ready for it. You say, well, Brother McMurray, have you ever tried to predict it? I have told people ever since I started this. Many years ago, I started going all over the United States when I first came up to this church. I had had all the education a man ever needs to be an expert in this. You say, well, I don't have to believe you. You're absolutely right. But you better think about this, because I'm trying to warn you that the days of the summer basket of fruit are going to come on us. And a matter of fact, I'll tell you when the rapture is going to be. The rapture will be when a great earthquake tears all the way across the Gulf of Aqaba, which is down in Africa, up through the Gulf of Aqaba, goes all the way up through Israel, cuts across into Turkey, goes all the way up into England. That's when it's going to occur. That's the rapture. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, when it happens, I hope the Lord takes you home. Because if he doesn't take you home then, you may be in trouble. Peace, the end is come. You say, you're just trying to get us to join this church. Before God, I tell you that is not the truth. I tell you that that is not my motive, never has been my motive, never will be my motive. I want you to wake up and realize that until certain things happen in these last days, you better be careful. You better be very careful. Amos 8:3, and the songs of the temple, Bethel, the house of bread, shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God, And there shall be many dead bodies in every place, and shall cast them forth with silence. We are about to experience a period of time like man has never seen on this earth. You say, oh, you're just one of those preachers that's left. I've heard about, you know, and you're scared of this and you're scared of that. I'm not scared of anything because I know I'm telling you the truth. And I know that you need to hear this. And I'm hopeful that when the Lord comes, because you have heard it, and because there should be a little bit of time left, you'll do something about it. They shall cast them forth with silence. Now, to you, in the English language, there's a difference between an adjective and an adverb. There's a difference between a noun. There's a difference between all these things. You say, well, we don't want to hear about that. Well, I'm going to tell you about it, whether you want to hear about it or not. With silence is an adverb. The mourners will not wail in funeral processions because the great slaughter will be so great as to prevent the many bodies from being immediately buried. We're facing something that's coming on this earth that is more horrible than you think could ever possibly occur. You may be sitting there right now and say, I don't believe any of that stuff. You think that makes me mad? No. Do you think it makes me glad? No. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you about it before it happens. And whenever you see a great earthquake occur all the way up through the Gulf of Aqaba in Africa, all the way up through there, all the way across Israel, straight up north, then cuts across and goes up through Italy and goes all the way up into England. When you see that happen, it's my hope that you won't be left here. That's my hope. You say, well, why'd we come down here? Because you're supposed to be down here. That's why. Such as will be the case at the end of the age of the Gentiles. Listen to this. Ezekiel 39:4. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. The Hebrew eagle is a vulture. But the truth of the matter is, as the Hebrew Israel is a vulture, there are some eagles over there, real eagles, but not very many. Let's take a look at Amos 8:11-14. If you say, he doesn't know what he's talking about, I don't mind that. You'll be probably a member of a large club. And you say, well, you sound bitter. No, I'm not bitter at all. Because I am supposed to do this. And before I die, I want to do it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread. Now listen to this. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Do you think all this stuff that you're watching on television right now, and all this merchandising and the things that are going along, hoop-de-doo, hoop-de-doo, you think that's of God? You think that the things that you're watching on television are of God? They're merchandising. They're merchandising everything. Now, what's going to happen? And they shall wander to and they shall wander from the sea to sea and from the north and to the east and even find it and never find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, what was the sin of Samaria? They started worshiping idols. That was the sin of Samaria. And say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the matter of Beersheba liveth, and they shall fall and never rise up again. Well, that scripture is yet to be fulfilled. You say, well, that happened a long time ago. Go back and read all this. Study to show itself approved unto God. Check out what I'm saying. If you think you're safe and secure in what you believe right now, check it out again. Check it out again, because this is serious, serious, serious material. And I do care whether you believe it or not, but this is what I'm down here for, and that's the purpose God called me for. Now notice what he says. The dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. We are drawing near to the time of Jesus Christ's second coming. I can't tell you when it's going to occur, but I can tell you that once that line of an earthquake goes all the way from southern Africa up into England, that's the time that the start of the tribulation period begins. He said, if my kingdom, it's John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Look at Psalm 2:6-8. Yet have I set my kingdom upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Is Jesus Christ not the Son of the living God? Was Peter not correct when he cried out, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? You say, well, who made God? God created himself. You say, oh, no. God was created by somebody. No, God created himself. You say, you mean God has always been light? God has always been light. He didn't explode out of the darkness and come forth. That's a bunch of hooey. He has always been light. But many people today are coming to a light that is not light, but is great darkness. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Jesus said, I and the Father are one, and he is. Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. When you got saved, you didn't get saved temporarily. You may think that you did, and you may think you've got to add to it. You think you've got to take away from it. You don't have to take away anything from it. God did it all. He is the one who saved your soul. So how much honor do you give him when you believe that he'll take it back? His dominion is everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Philippians 2:8-11. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You mean God humbled himself? Do you mean God humbled himself? Do you mean that? Do you think that? Yes, he did. How can anyone that has all power in heaven and earth humble himself? What kind of a man is that? He's the kind of a man that you aren't. He's the kind of a man that was the only one who could do it. And he did it all by himself. And God wants you to accept him as someone who has humbled himself and paid the price for you in blood. He says, and being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He and the Father are one. You say, well, he'll take back my salvation. No, he won't. No, he won't. Hebrews 9:27-28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So is the conclusion. It's always a conclusion. So Christ was once offered, to bear the sins of many. Who are the many? And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We're about to see something happen, and I hope you're prepared for it. Because if you think you can lose your salvation, how much confidence do you have in the one who saved your soul? How much confidence do you have in Jesus Christ? You say, well, you know, this and that and so forth and so on. You better wake up. You better wake up before it's too late. Sure, I may have hurt your feelings when I said this. You may be irritated by it. You may think it's a bunch of baloney. But now you've got it between those two earlobes, and I hope you'll think about it. Because it may be that when this all starts to happen, maybe he'll leave you here long enough to repent and realize you were wrong. You can say that to me. I won't get mad. You can say, I think you're wrong and you're going to be left here. You can say that to me all you want. It doesn't frighten me. It doesn't make me the least angry. You say, well, you've been raising your voice. Maybe you'll hear it if I raise my voice high enough. The truth of the matter is, we are living in the last days. The days when we think we've got a lot of time left. You got all these wonderful commercials on television. You got them now hyped up to where they're just buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. And those men that are selling you that stuff, if you think they're commissioned of God to become statesmen to selling their goods to the people, they're robbing them blind. The truth of the matter is, you better get ready for the Lord's coming, and you better get ready now. You say, well, why don't you give an invitation? Why don't you think over what I've said? And why don't you just think over and say, he might be right. Well, I might be. I am right. And I'm right because I based everything I said on the living word of God. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You better start thinking about the end times because it's here. Kenneth, would you dismiss us?